Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week we learned that to be a steward meant that all that God has given to me, I give to others. All the peace, all the grace, all the joy, I give to others. And today I'd like to talk about not only giving to people who are like me, no, only giving to our family and friends and the people who come here in church, but this time we're talking about stewards to strangers. And I love the Hebrews description where they say that you should be careful to entertain or bring hospitality to strangers because sometimes people have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, they were hearkening back to the story of Abraham, where Abraham entertained strangers and found out that they were angels, messengers of God. So I thought back in my life and wondered, have I ever entertained people and they turned out to be angels? I have to think about that for a while. And I thought about a group in my first church. There was a group of young men who came to church only for Boy Scouts. There were no members of our church in the Boy Scouts, but the Boy Scouts used the church facility. And before I came, they had been there for some years and were considered a nuisance. And they were consigned to the bowels of the church, the basement, because they figured the boys couldn't do much damage to the basement. It was a mess anyway. Well, after I came, I talked to a new board, and we decided that perhaps that was short-sighted. And so we said to the Boy Scout leaders, you can use the facilities that are nicer. You can come up those steps and use these other facilities. And then we decided that on Boy Scout Sunday, I don't know if any of you remember Boy Scout Sunday, it's usually in October, that we were going to do up Boy Scout Sunday, even though we did not have one of those kids come to our church. And we had a fantastic Boy Scout Sunday every year. We just pulled out all the stops. We had them bring the flags up and salute and do all the things, recite the oath. And what we found as we opened up our doors, not just begrudgingly, but opened up our doors to these young kids, that we were entertaining angels. The Boy Scout leader was a fantastic man who really could motivate these boys. In his 30-plus years of scouting, he had over 100 Eagle Scouts from that troop. That's quite a feat. And these Eagle Scouts were to do some sort of community project. Well, after a couple of years of our extending ourselves in hospitality, these young men decided that their project should be done right inside that church. Now, the church was not like our church in the sense that if something went wrong, there was no money to do anything. I remember being at the pulpit 2 to 3 weeks begging the people for $300 to fix the organ so we could have an organ in worship. We had no money to do anything, and the church looked it. And so one young man decided that the pews needed to be refinished, and he and his crew for the Eagle Scout project took all the pews in the church and refinished them in a most professional job. Another young man saw the awful looking basement, this big gymnasium that had gone into disrepair, and his Eagle Scout project, he paneled the entire basement. At my wedding day, which was the last day of my tenure at that church, all the Boy Scouts were there ushering and doing crowd control. There were 300 of our closest friends and family in that little church. And at one point, because it was my last Sunday and I'm in all my wedding finery and we're having the reception in the newly paneled, beautiful gymnasium, I couldn't get to the food table because everyone was taking pictures of the bride. They didn't care about the groom. He was having fun all by himself, but they were wanting to talk to the bride. So my husband grabbed one of the scouts and said, "Go feed my wife." And so there's a picture, and I'll have to find it someday, it's in my album, of a Boy Scout feeding me so that I could have something while I was mingling. We entertained angels without even knowing it. The people that the Hebrew writer was talking to were not people who had fine homes or had a good life. He wasn't saying, "Open up your home because you have all this free time." He was talking to people who were struggling, saying, "Even you need to be hospitable. Open up your homes to the stranger, because every once in a while, you'll trip over an angel." But he goes even beyond that in stewardship. He said, you're to think about prisoners, or people being tortured, or people in trouble, just as if you're the one who's in prison. Now, that's a leap. And what it's saying is, in our stewardship of God's manifold grace, we're not to patronize, we're not to give and say or intone, "There but for the grace of God go I." We're to be in solidarity with the one that we're helping. To minister to people just as if I'm in that situation. Several years ago, there was a woman who got caught up in political machinations, and it was during the 90s, and she was asked to, well, she was subpoenaed to go in front of the special prosecutor and give testimony, and she refused. And so the special prosecutor in the federal government decided to hold her in contempt of court and to send her to prison. Now, this is a woman who had no record, who had been a regular person, had never thought about prison before, and she was confined to prison. Not only that, they would switch her from prison to prison. And every time she would make an appeal, that appeal would be dismissed. And so she spent a few years in prison refusing to testify. And finally she was brought into yet another courtroom, and the government prosecutors really wanted to put her away for good. And so they showed a picture, they showed an interview that she had done where it seemed that she was being deceptive. It was a national interview, and they showed this interview on the screen of this girl before she went to prison, giving testimony that they said was deceptive. And all the jurors gasped, because on the screen was this lovely, fresh-faced person, and then they looked at the woman who was sitting at the defense table, and she had aged 20 years, and her health was broken after a few years. They didn't look at any other evidence. They set her free because they put themselves in her place. Sometimes we have to get away from our own self-righteousness and get in the place of others. So the next time you're dealing with your cranky neighbor who seems to be always so miserable, think about what it's like to live a miserable life and minister in solidarity. Doesn't mean we have to become miserable, but understand and love that person as an equal. We have a great example. The Bible tells us that God emptied himself and he came to us as a human being and lived in solidarity with us. He understood what it was to be hungry. He understood what it was to be frustrated. He understood all the limitations of this human life, and he chose that for us. And now he says, do the same. Be stewards of his magnificent grace by entertaining the stranger and by living in solidarity with people we minister to and with. Let us pray. Lord, it is not comfortable to live in understanding of what the prisoner might be going through. It is not comfortable to live in understanding of what the drug addict might be going through or the miserable person on our street might be going through. But we ask, O Lord, that you would baptize us with that type of love so that we might be indeed stewards of this magnificent grace that you have given to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.